Hi, I'm Alexa. You can now hear PT Pinecast using me. Just say, hey Alexa, launch PT Pinecast. Or you could be nice and try saying please for once.
What is being polite dead these days?
To hear episodes, just say, hey Alexa, launch PT Pinecast. Maybe throw in a please at the end.
You don't have to know every single thing about every single type of wheelchair or trunk support or wheel or tire that's out there. You really just have to do a thorough assessment, take each person as an individual, know your resources, know that there are equipment specialists out there, and then as you get more comfortable with some of those specifics, you'll be able to do your own evaluations. But the more you're involved in that decision-making process, better that person's long-term outcome and mobility is going to be in the future.
Talking to Jenneth Bernstein today. Jenneth is a physical therapist and an expert on seating and all things mobility. She also has a role with the organization called Permobile. If you listen to one of our earlier episodes, they're the power wheelchair company that helped us purchase that power wheelchair that we got to bring to Costa Rica to G. If you missed that episode, don't worry about it. We're going to re-release it today. So if you're hearing this on release day, the next episode that'll follow, that episode is a recap of how we found a patient in Costa Rica with muscular dystrophy, decided he needed a power wheelchair, and this show was going to bring it to him, and then we did. Then we got a chance to actually bring it to him, literally, in Costa Rica, and we brought along the microphone. So can't thank Permobile enough for being part of that episode that we're re-releasing so you can take a listen, and appreciate Jenna's time giving you some insight into some seating and mobility. Episode today brought to you by Owens Recovery Science, the single source for PTs looking for certification in personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training and the equipment you need to put it into clinical practice. Find Johnny and his team online at owensrecoveryscience.com.
Broadcasting to physical therapists around the world. Heard in over 135 countries with more than 1 million downloads and counting.
This is
the PT Pinecast. The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours.
May I introduce?
Please allow me to introduce you to.
Here's your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours. I'm Jimmy McKay on the program, Jenneth Bernstein. Jenneth, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Jenneth, a physical therapist, specialized in seating and wheel mobility for over a decade, working right now at a Model SCI system in Atlanta, Georgia. We'll get into that. And now working as a clinical education manager for an organization called Permobile. And I'm going to start the show off by saying thank you to Permobile, because you guys, Permobile, played a huge role in my life. So thank you.
Yes, absolutely. It's so exciting to hear your story and how you learned about Permobile and supported a client that was in need of a power mobility device. And I'm happy to be on here and talk to you about how else Permobile and physical therapy have kind of guided me in my career. And as you said, I did start out at a model system for SCI and specialized in seating and mobility. And then about 3 years ago, started with a company called Permobile.
So just for background for the audience, some of them are going to be in the know of what I'm talking about, why I'm thanking Jenneth and Permobile. I took a trip as a third year PT student. It was like a mission trip, went to Costa Rica. I got a chance to work in an orphanage for two straight weeks. And one of the children there, well, you know, he's 18. One of my guys there had muscular dystrophy and was in a tilt and space chair, you know, was completely dependent. Yeah. And we decided that while we couldn't improve his muscular dystrophy, right, we could improve his mobility, but there was that barrier because, you know, these chairs are, I mean, you guys are like the BMW of power wheelchairs, the Mercedes, whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
And so we had to figure out how to get it to him. This is a kid living in Costa Rica with nuns, wow, very well taken care of, but a power wheelchair was just not in this guy's forecast. So it just wasn't going to happen, but it could instantly change his moment to moment life. So we set out on a fundraiser. I think we raised something like $19,000 in 66 days. Buy a chair. And the funny part was we inquired about how much the chair cost, and then we started talking about it on this podcast and social media, and every time we'd update on how much money we raised, Permobile would come back and be like, oh, okay, the price just dropped. So we kept raising the bar, and you guys kept lowering it to make sure we hit this target. So that's what I wanted to thank you for. Maybe, and you know what I'll do? I'll re-release that episode because, again, it was like a pivotal moment in my life. I'm still, all the hair on my arms are standing up right now.
now, just talking about G. So that's what I'll do. After the episode that follows this one, I'll re-release that one for people to kind of follow that story.
Yeah, I think that's perfect. And you know, having moments like that where you're in school and you see what giving someone independence and mobility can do. Yeah, we don't have the ability to change every single thing about his diagnosis, but you can give him, you know, some freedom that he had never experienced before. And I think it'd be great to hear his story for sure.
I had a microphone on me when we had positioned him in the chair, the ProMobile chair, and I was talking through a translator, and I said, "Where do you want to go?" And then he made his comment. Everybody laughed, but I was the only guy who didn't speak Spanish, so I didn't get it. And the translator said, "I said, where do you want to go?" And the translator replied, "I just want to ride." And I was like, that is what an 8-year-old should say. I was like, yes.
Yep.
And just so you know, first 10 minutes using the chair, looked like he was completely drunk, could not pilot it. 15 minutes in, was doing better. A half hour in, he piloted himself down a hill through two doorways and sat himself at the head of the table for lunch. And I was like, my work here is done.
Done.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he was hitting on the nurses 20 minutes after that. So I was like, even better.
Totally different side of him than you'd ever seen before.
Yeah. It changed his personality for the better. He was allowed to be an 18-year-old again, you know, and have a little attitude and flirt. You know, that's what you want an 18-year-old dude to do.
Yeah.
Let's get into this. You know, your passion in the field of physical therapy is around mobility, wheelchair specific, working with ProMobile even before that. Let's start with a question. Are PTs provided with the tools to complete wheelchair evaluations when we graduate, right as soon as we leave school? Are we equipped?
Yeah, and it's such an interesting question because I think about, you know, all the tools that I was provided, even had an actual tool kit with my goniometer and my stethoscope and my blood pressure cuff, and, you know, nowhere in that little kit that was to prepare me for working in this field was how to write a letter of medical necessity, how to really assess seated posture and function from a wheelchair. You know, we got a couple hours on, like, this is a wheelchair, you know, measure it 2 inches wider than the person measures so that they have room for clothes. And that was kind of it. And unfortunately, you know, there just isn't enough time in the curriculum to do every little specialty area. But when we think about how a lot of our clients, especially with catastrophic injuries, actually do function, it is with a wheeled mobility device. And we're just not really given enough resources to understand exactly how to do a seating and mobility evaluation. However, we do know how to do an evaluation. We know how to set goals. We know how to assess all the body systems, look at function. So we have the basics, and then there's just a few things that you have to learn to adapt it to a seating and mobility evaluation. So it doesn't have to be a big, scary thing, because we have the foundation. It's just learning how it then applies to the wheelchair and posture and function from a wheeled mobility device.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to have a professor with me, Kelly Negley, who worked at National Rehab Hospital. So she was with us on that trip to Costa Rica I was talking about. And I remember just what you just said. I was given, you know, the bare basic tools in terms of make sure the wheelchair does this and it fits just like this. But I remember when there's a human being in front of you and you're positioning them there, number one, that's hard and you got to learn how to do that right.
Yeah.
But number two, it was great to have her say, okay, what are you not paying attention to? Or what are some things that maybe you should be looking for? And that was a little bit advanced knowledge because that's what she had done for a while at NRH.
Yeah.
So where can someone who maybe this is being given to them as part of their role now and they want to get better at it, what would you suggest? How do they advance their knowledge? What's the best way?
I would say for me, my experience, I ended up finding this brochure about this conference called International Seating Symposium. And I was like, there's a wheelchair on the front. What is this about? Because I had already had kind of an interest in spinal cord injury. And so that kind of came along with learning more about wheeled mobility. And I went to that conference before I'd even really started specializing. And I was, when I got there and I went to my first like plenary session and I said, I found my people, you know, I finally found kind of what I understood as function and mobility and quality of life. And I kind of just found the area of interest that I felt like I was looking for. So I would say one of the first places is International Seating Symposium, and it'll be actually in Pittsburgh next week.
Wow.
So it's sponsored by the University of Pittsburgh Continuing Education center. And then each year it'll be like in Vancouver next year, sponsored by Sunny Hill Hospital. So it's kind of an East Coast 1 year, West Coast another year, but it's people from all over the world.
There's a symposium for everything now.
Yeah, I know.
I love that though, you know, because when you break down a symposium, it's just a bunch of people who know a lot or want to know a lot about something super specific, and they get together and, you know, that. And, oh, by the way, they go out for drinks and happy hours afterwards.
Yeah, maybe it's
a lot of learning. Yeah, they do that.
Yeah.
What sets complex rehab apart from standard durable medical equipment? What sets those two apart?
Right. So complex rehab is really when you are custom designing a cushion, a backrest, a manual wheelchair, power wheelchair for each individual. Durable medical equipment, or DME, is something that you would buy off the shelf, is used for just a short period of time. Someone who had a hip replacement needs a wheelchair for 6 months, but you know they're going to get to a walker and a cane and hopefully nothing, but it's not meant for functioning all day, every day from that device.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
That kind of sets the stage. You see a lot of this, you know, in your career and then your role working with ProMobile. Talk about that role just real briefly. What do you get to do? Because you're a PT, and who are you talking to and what are you talking about as a clinical education manager for ProMobile?
So I get the opportunity to do clinical in-services, which includes like taking a product, say a wheelchair cushion, a Rojo cushion, and I get to say, here's the science behind why this cushion was developed, here's how you use it, here's the best clientele that you can try with this type of cushion, here are the things that you can expect from it, here are some of the risks, if there are any, and kind of really talk about the application of each specific piece of equipment. And then I also get to do continuing education for clinicians that, you know, don't have access to the seating symposium or curriculum or professor. And we talk about just the decision-making process to get someone equipment and how to choose equipment, but in a more general term. So we don't talk specific products. We just talk about a power chair in general, and how it can, and what your characteristics you're looking for when you're helping to decide on, help a client to decide what mobility device works best for them.
That's a cool role, and I don't want to skip past it. How can someone reach out to you to find out about this information? If someone's listening right now, like, yeah, I want in on that. How can they reach you?
Yeah, for sure. Email is probably the best because I'm on the road quite a bit. I cover mostly of the southeast of the U.S., so email is best. It's Jenith, J-E-N-N-I-T-H dot Bernstein, B-E-R-N-S-T-E-I-N, at Permobile, P-E-R-M-O-B-I-L, .com.
Make sure you don't put the E on the end of Permobile.
Yes.
I've done that. It's Permobile.
Permobile, yes. And I always spell everything out. Having the name Jenith makes it out of habit.
That's smart. And it's a podcast. You know what I mean? I mean, we'll probably put it in the show notes, but I always like when people spell it out as well. So talking about seating and talking about, you know, wheelchair and equipment, let's start with like where the human meets the equipment. What's the best wheelchair cushion out there? Are you allowed to have favorites? You know, since there's like kids, you can't have a favorite, or can
right?
You?
Well, I think that you could potentially have a favorite. You may not reveal that favorite right off the bat. I always like to ask that question whenever I'm teaching a class. I was just with the Oklahoma chapter of the United Spinal with consumers that use products, and I said, "What's the best wheelchair cushion?" And actually, some people actually came back to me with, you know, it's what's right for you as an individual.
Yeah.
And that's really what I want to get across. You know, there are top of the line cushions out there that really do work, but it's also, does it work right for that person at that moment in time based on the mobility that they need and what they need to get out of the cushion? Do they need skin protection? Do they need positioning? Do they need protection from having an incontinent episode? So it's really what works best for that person, but skin protection is always the first decision maker for sure.
Yeah. It's kind of like is a loaded question. I knew that when I was throwing it at you, but it's like, what's the best exercise? I'm like, well, what do you want to get out? First of all, the one you're going to do, right? It's the one you're actually going to do. Second, what are you looking to improve? You know, so it's a loaded question without more information, but I just wanted to see if you'd
I used to walk down the halls of the exhibit halls and they'd be like, this is the best cushion. And I would ask them like, well, how'd you measure it? Who'd you
for
measure
what?
It with?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. For who?
Yeah, exactly.
So working with not just power chairs, right? Manual wheelchairs as well?
Correct.
So what would you say? Give us like some tips and tricks. This is your bag, Jenith. Optimizing a person's manual wheelchair experience, propulsion, seating. What are the things that come to mind that someone can put into play in clinic tomorrow?
Yeah, I think a lot of times that one of the biggest things you can look for is what we call axle position. So where the big wheel actually sits on the wheelchair. Some of the more what we call like depot chairs or more general basic chairs are called lightweight wheelchairs. They do not have the ability to move the wheel forward and backward.
So there's that difference between, you know, being complex and being specific and then standard DME. Is that right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
So where do you want that axle?
So you want the axle to be about even with their shoulder joint. So the farther forward the wheel is, the easier is going to be for the person to push the wheelchair. Now comes at a little bit of a, you know, you have to make sure the person understands how to do their wheelchair skills because it does make the chair a little bit tippier to the posterior direction. But as far forward as you can get the wheel right underneath their shoulder joint, good rule of thumb, well, a good rule of hand, I should say, is you want the tip of the middle finger to be about the center of that wheel.
So now hold on a second. So you want the wheel about even or in front of their shoulder when they're sitting upright or when they're kind of, you know, leaning anterior to propel it?
When you're sitting upright and relaxed, you drop your hands to the side, and then you want like someone to just be in a pretty relaxed position, natural arm position, and you want the tip of the middle finger to be about the center of that wheel.
Got it. Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
What other tips? What else you got for people who are looking to improve their skills just right now?
Yeah, I think another thing I see a lot is a backrest height. If you want someone who's going to be propelling a wheelchair all day, every day, the scapulas cannot be blocked. So if you have a backrest that's coming up and above the shoulder blade, then the person is not going to be able to use what musculature they have to get a good push and relaxation cycle. Because there's push technique associated with manual wheelchair. And if the backrest is pushing that person forward because it's too tall or they can't get good range of motion from their shoulder joint, you know, all those things go into being able to push efficiently and then also protecting the shoulder over time because it's at very high risk of repetitive strain.
And that's what we look at as PTs. You know, we're looking at the human. I like how you start everything with the individual and not the piece of equipment. You know, I like the fact that you're a PT working for an organization, but you're a PT first. We both know between you and me, you're a PT.
Absolutely, always.
The PT Pinecast will be right back.
Want to thank Brooks Rehabilitation, their Institute of Higher Learning, for sponsoring the show. Residency and fellowship opportunities is what they offer. Check them out at brooksihl.org. Also, hosting their fourth annual scholarly symposium that's going on June 22nd in Jacksonville, Florida. Information about the symposium can be found at brooksihl.org. Keynote presentation this year by the editor of PTJ, Alan Jetty. I'll be on hand doing some talks and some live podcasting. Looking for CEUs and to expand your knowledge base? Look no further than brooksihl.org.
And we're back. Let's get back to the show.
So working with an organization like Permobil, you're probably exposed to stuff. They're probably bringing you in to look at and test and do stuff like you were just telling us, things to look at before something comes out. What are some advances that we're seeing in power mobility to help people?
Yeah, power mobility, you know, is something that with the way that technology is going, we only have one direction to go, and that's up and advancing. And our company, Permobil, really believes that every person with a disability should be able to access the same technology that everybody else does in their everyday lives. And that's part of our mission statement, is that if there's a technology out there that helps any individual, it should be also be able to help the person with a disability. And so what we're doing is we're looking at Bluetooth technology, connected technology through cellular data to kind of help a client learn how to change positions in their wheelchair so that they could potentially have a reduced risk of secondary complications like pressure injury or discomfort or pain or lack of sitting tolerance. So we have a virtual seating coach that can coach the person into and out of a position. We're also looking at ways that we can proactively provide information about the wheelchair through a connected wheelchair. So we actually take data from the battery, from the motors, from the actuators that like control how the seat moves, and we study that so that we can improve how it functions. And ultimately, the ultimate goal of all of these is learning how to reduce downtime. So reduce the amount of time someone has to spend in bed or in an uncomfortable chair that doesn't fit them right while their chair is being fixed or repaired. So that's a huge goal for us. And then also we have another technology that's built in where the person can use however they steer or maneuver the wheelchair. They can use that that same input device to control their computer or their phone.
Yeah.
Through Bluetooth mouse emulation. So all kinds of great technology out there. And we just have to, all we have to do as PTs is tell our clients about it and then let the specialists train them on, you know, on the specifics. But just knowing that it's out there is going to open up a whole new world to some of your clients.
I love that. What are some cool ways, like give me like some like short, quick examples of like things people can control from their power mobility devices now? Like you said, computer, but like what else?
Yeah. So, I mean, with the way that Apple Home and Google Home, some of the home controls are going now, if a person can access their phone, they can almost have access to their whole environment. There's a gentleman that we work with that consults with us out of Washington State. He presents with C4 tetraplegia, and he's a database manager. So he's switching between Mac and PC all day long. He uses two different phones, two different platforms. He controls the security. He can see like the security cameras around his home, which is amazing to him. So like he can just pull up on his tablet, his security system and see, you know, why there's a noise in the backyard or what is his dog barking at without having to physically move to that location. And so not only connecting with peers or with, you know, friends and family through social media and just email contact, but also being able to control the temperature of the room when you have impaired, you know, thermoregulation. You can look at your temperature. You can make an emergency phone call. You can look at your security camera. We have people that are graphic designers by using one switch on their wheelchair to control the computer mouse. So it really, any amount of anything that can have a remote connection into it, we can usually also use the wheelchair to control that device as well.
That's cool. I like how you're not focused on a chair. You're focused on the individual and then saying, what are the different cool things that we can bring? We can make that person able to control, not just move left, right, you know, rotate.
Yeah.
How do we reach out?
Exactly. I mean, we know mobility is getting from point A to point B, and that's a big part of what a wheelchair can provide. But it's also what can you do when you get to that destination? Can you now sit comfortably at a table with your friends and have a conversation because, you know, maybe that bar that you like to go to has a high top table. And if your power wheelchair didn't elevate you to that position, then all of your friends would have to go find another table. And, you know, then they'd be making an accommodation for you. And we want people who use a mobility device to have like a seamless entry into their environment. You know, the wheelchair can do that. If it's not fit and assessed correctly, it can also prevent someone from having that experience. So we PTs and do play a critical role in helping to advise the person how to make that decision because it can really enhance their life. But if it's not done correctly, it could potentially, you know, limit them as well.
Last thing I wanted to get into is talk about pediatrics. I worked in peds a little bit after I graduated. How can you use a wheelchair as a therapeutic intervention, promoting development? We've talked before with Cole Galloway in terms of mobility should be a human right. And it does so much socially, as you mentioned, getting to the bar and if you want to sit at the bar, you should be able to sit at the bar no matter your station. So talk about that just a little bit before we wrap up.
Sure. Yes. Like you mentioned, Dr. Cole Galloway, he works with children as young as one of their first research studies was a child 7 months old driving a power wheelchair. It was a modified wheelchair at that time. But through his research and many other contributors, we know that a child has to have self-initiated mobility. They have to try to figure out where they want to go, how they're going to get there, how fast they need to move in order to get what they want. And those critical 0 to 3 years of development, if that child is not, it's huge. If they're not if they're not self-initiating that mobility, it can really slow them down even more. So it's kind of like a fast track to getting through all those developmental milestones, and that's moving independently and as quickly as possible. So, you know, we have young children as young as 1 and 2 pushing manual wheelchairs, and as young as 1 and 2 years old driving power wheelchairs. And it's all about what's age appropriate for supervision. So a lot of times people say, you can't let a one-year-old drive a wheelchair. And it's the same thing as if you wouldn't let a typically developing one-year-old, you know, run out in the parking lot by themselves either.
Right.
So it's age-appropriate supervision. And when the chair is set up with the developing child in mind, you really can help to get them through those milestones and reduce any kind of potential motor and cognitive and social delay that might come.
I can hear the pediatric PTs listening right now if you listen very carefully. They're saying, hell yeah. I can hear one of them screaming, hell yeah. Of course, you would never tell a typically developing child, like, don't run around.
Right.
Why would you ever tell one, like, if they aren't able to be mobile in a certain way, why would you keep that from them? But as you mentioned, of course, age appropriate. That's where a PT comes in, or a lot of other healthcare professionals. And we want to get that ASAP. I mean, Cole even talks about movement cycles and how many movement cycles a child with mobility issues is short before they're even born. They're not moving certain ways in the womb. And so he, why would you ever hold that back? I love that. We're going to play 3 questions. Are you ready?
Oh, okay.
On the hot seat with 3 questions on the PT Pinecast.
3 questions brought to you by our sponsors, Arias Medical Staffing. Quite simply, Jenna, they find physical therapists places to what they want, which is be a physical therapist, but they do it anywhere you want to go. So if you're like, I want to go for 13 weeks to Hawaii and work there, you could do that. And I mentioned
Hawaii.
People are always like, well, not Hawaii or Alaska. I'm like, actually, yes, a lot of demand in places like that, but all over. So not everybody wants to go to Hawaii, but if you want to go live in the mountains of West Virginia, or you want to go in the, you know, Central Florida or Iowa, you can go there. They've got PTs everywhere. That's the great part about it. So Arias has been staffing people for, I believe it's like 2 decades. So they've got this thing down. AURUSmedical.com. And the cool part about them, they don't just find you a position and say, see you later. How to get your license changed to a different state, walk you through that, taxes, housing, they got it. So all the things that wrap around travel PT, they've got that. So AURUSmedical.com, reach out to Sunny or anybody there. I love all those guys. No obligation, like, you know, just asking doesn't make you have to do anything. So check it out, AURUSmedical.com. First question, it's about travel. Where, you travel a lot for your job, where would you want to go and maybe do a 13-week assignment that you haven't been yet in the U.S.?
Ooh, that I haven't been yet.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say California, but I've been in Big Sur, California. It's my favorite place probably that I've ever traveled to, but I've been there already. But my boss, Brandon, is from Wyoming. And we always talk about, you know, we should have some kind of retreat in Wyoming and
make
it an education. Yeah, symposium. And he just talks about the beauty of the state and the, you know, that is one place I have not been in the Montana, Wyoming area. So I think I would love to see the big sky of Wyoming, Montana area. For sure.
That's cool. Well, they've got position. Without even looking on their website, I know Arias can get you a position there.
Nice.
Second question, what's something that you read that really inspired you? Could be a book, a quote, could have been a song lyric, anything.
Mm. Oh, man. I would say, as far as, I do love music, but don't know if this is the audience for some of the music I listen to. But I would say, as far as a book, I remember in PT school, I had a class, Psychology of Disability. And, you know, we read Elizabeth Kubler-Ross and Death and Dying and things like that. But I read Michael J. Fox's first book. I can't remember the name of it. His first book that he came out with, I think it was in early 2000s. And it was called a Lucky Man. And he talked about as he's going through his Parkinson's journey, and of course, a lot's changed for him in 18 years. He didn't really even know the impact he was going to have on the community. But I know he wrote in there that he really wouldn't change the experience that he's had in having a diagnosis of Parkinson's, because it's allowed him to learn so much about his family, so much about himself, and he's been able to really help so many people that he would never have gotten that opportunity for. And it really opened my mind to even though someone is going through a huge life change, that they're able to see if whatever is meaningful to them, for him, it was helping other people, but they're still able to achieve something that is meaningful. And it doesn't have to mean that, you know, whatever they were interested in is over. And that's something that I was taught, you know, working at the hospital that I worked at in Atlanta, and now, of course, at Permobil as well. And that theme is just kind of stayed with me. If you want to do it, we'll figure out a way. So
I love that. Yeah, he's one of my favorite actors. I mean,
yes,
I, you know,
he,
Back to the Future, the trilogy kind of came out just when I was like, you know, 11 or 12 or something like that. I just remember thinking like, and plus, you know, he's a TV actor before that. And, I, you know, I never met the guy, but I feel like I would just be like, want to be his best friend. Just seems like a really positive dude.
Absolutely. Yeah.
He's got a couple books out. So yeah, Lucky Man is the one you referenced. And
okay,
I heard good things about A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Future. And of course, I got to read these things. This is why I asked this question, is so I can beef up my own book list.
Yeah, I didn't know that he had another one. I'll have to read that. I love Back to the Future. And I always try to, I've been trying to get our engineers to make us some hover pants for the wheelchair so that we can reduce pressure. We just hover over the seating surface. So someday Michael J. Fox is going to come back full circle when we get the hover pants.
I love it. Third and final question on three questions is, who is someone the audience should know more about? Maybe someone in mobility or in PT, or just somebody that you're like, this person does great work. I want people to know about them.
Gosh, so hard to do one person. Can I do a group of people?
Do it.
And do like a shameless plug for the clinician task force?
Okay, hit it.
So this is a group of physical and occupational therapists that their passion is seating and mobility. And there are people like Jeannie Minkle out of New York, Barbara Crane, Barbara Kroom, all of these, David Kreutz is on there. So a lot of just key players that have been doing seating and mobility for 25, 30 years have taught us everything that we need to know, but they're still pushing our industry forward. People like Laura Cohen. And so we're trying our best to get this group together of anybody that has even a beginning inkling in seating and mobility. You can join it, and we have all kinds of resources available to you. But I would say, you know, some people that have been influential from that group are Jeannie Minkle, and then Michelle Lang, and she's an occupational therapist, but we let her, you know, we cross over in the seating and mobility world. But they just published a wonderful book. So I would say the two of them are really key leaders that I look up to for my learning and pushing keeping our industry forward. Yeah.
Real quick, if someone wanted to find information about those guys, where could they go?
ClinicianTaskForce.us.
Perfect.
And so, yeah, you could definitely contact them, and they will get you to the right person, clinicianTaskForce@gmail.com.
Perfect. Last thing we do on the show, Jenith, is the parting shot.
This is the parting shot.
The parting shot is brought to you by Rock Tape. More than just a tape company, Rock Tape is a movement company, tools and education for medical professionals. If you're looking to help your patients go stronger longer, check out rocktape.com.
Pretty much just a wrap up, a mic drop moment. What's one thing you'd want the audience, mostly of PTs, PTAs, or students, to remember about your corner of the world of physical therapy?
Yeah, I think that I would like people to know that you don't have to know every single thing about every single type of wheelchair or trunk support or wheel or tire that's out there. You really just have to do a thorough assessment, take each person as an individual, know your resources. So know that you can call me if you have a question about a Permobil, know that there are equipment specialists out there. And then as you get more comfortable with some of those specifics, you'll be able to do your own evaluations. But knowing that you have the skills to really change someone's ability to function, if they need a wheeled mobility device, and all the specific numbers and types and codes and all of that will come with time. But the more you're involved in that decision-making process versus just sending someone to, you know, get a piece of equipment on their own without a clinician involved, the better that person's long-term outcome and mobility is going to be in the future.
Love it. Jenith, appreciate your time. Again, thanks to Permobil, and we're going to re-release that episode after this.
Oh, great.
Something I haven't done, bringing back essentially,
yeah.
I mean, that's the greatest hit for this show is that episode we got to do, and I'm so glad that Permobil was a part of it, and we're going to do a little tease right now, Jenith.
Yeah.
We don't know what, but we, the show, Permobil, we're trying to work on something for CSM 2020 in Denver. We don't know what it is yet. yet, but there are things in motion, and we'll do something. We'll probably involve a happy hour of some sort, but it will also involve helping some other people. Don't know what it is yet.
Yeah,
but that's a forward tease, we call that in the radio biz.
Yeah, and I will say that we are very fortunate to have actually a nonprofit arm of Permobil called Permobil Foundation. And so that gives us wonderful opportunity to get some secret stuff going that will really help out. And I hope to see, I can't wait to see what happens in Denver. Yeah. It'll be fun.
Looking forward to Denver 2020. Jenith, appreciate your time. Thanks for jumping on the show with us.
Okay, thank you.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC. It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jim McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University. We talk PT, drink beer, and record it. This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. More on the show at ptpinecast.com.
Our home on the internet.
PTPintcast.com.
Created by BuildPT. BuildPT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting,
to providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what BuildPT can do for you today
at BuildPT.com.
Treating at a pro bono clinic, working at a soup kitchen, cleaning up a park. No matter where or how, we have the ability to positively impact change. Whether we call ourselves physical therapists or physiotherapists, service embodies who we are, what we do, and how we act. Become a part of PT Day of Service as we join together to better the world. Find out how you can get involved at ptdayofservice.com.